रक्तबुधि सर्वत्र जिधार्म विग्रथा स्प्रियः नैष्कारम्या सिद्धिं परमां सन्यासेनाधिगच्छति. One who is self-controlled and unattached, and who disregards all material enjoyments, can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Real renunciation means that one should always think himself part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore think that he has no right to enjoy the results of his work. Since he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the results of his work must be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. This is actually Krishna consciousness. The person acting in Krishna consciousness is really a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. By such a mentality, one is satisfied because he is actually acting for the Supreme. Thus, he is not attached to anything material. He becomes accustomed to not taking pleasure in anything beyond the transcendental happiness derived from the service of the Lord. A sannyasi is supposed to be free from the reactions of past activities. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness automatically attains this perfection without even accepting the so-called order of renunciation. This state of mind is called Yoga Rudha, or the perfectional stage of yoga, as confirmed in the third chapter, Yastvatmaratir Evashat. One who is satisfied in himself has no fear of any kind of reaction from his activity. The verse that precedes this very important sloka reads as follows. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Krishna is discussing in this chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita what is real renunciation. It is explained here what is not real renunciation. Before we can understand what is truth, we must understand what is not truth. Srila Prabhupada has explained so nicely, before we understand the transcendental nature of the spiritual world, we have to have sufficient knowledge of the miserable nature of this material world. As long as we are intoxicated by the false hope that we can be happy in this material world, we can get no realization of the necessity of the transcendental world of the Supreme Lord. We may theoretically hear so many wonderful pastimes about Krishna and about what takes place in Vaikuntha. But unless we are really convinced that this material world is a place of suffering, we will not realize the importance of the spiritual world. The Isha Upanishad describes we must cultivate knowledge and nescience, or ignorance, simultaneously. This is critical. So while understanding what is real renunciation, we must also understand what is not real renunciation. What is apparent renunciation? Because Krishna consciousness is the deepest internal journey into our own spiritual nature. Within society, there are many external forms which are meant for the purpose of helping us to make this journey. But the forms in and of themselves will not bring us to the destination. They are simply aids. The wearing of tilak is an aid. The wearing of the tilak is to mark our bodies as temples of God. However, unless we act with our body as if it was a temple of God, then the tilak is just mud on your head. We may be shaving our head as a sign of renunciation. And shaving the head is actually separating us from the rest of the vanity of society. Because growing hairs is very fashionable. If you go to the Western world and you go to any sizable store, there will be at least 108 varieties of shampoo. Do you even know what is shampoo? It's a sham, is what it is. It's different types of formulas to make your hair lustrous and shiny and manageable and fragrant and everything else to attract people. We shave our heads as a sign that we don't care what people think about our physical appearance. We want people to simply think that we are devoted to God. We don't want people to think, oh, this person is so beautiful. This person is very attractive. We want to attract people to Krishna, so we shave our heads. However, if you shave your head, but you're not actually renounced, if you're still egoistic and proud and trying to attract people to yourself, then what is the use of the shaved head? It's meaningless. We may be going to the temple. Going to the temple is an external form of going to submit yourself before God. But if we go to the temple for some social purpose, thinking, what will I get from doing this? Then what is the meaning? Some meaning may be there, but not the real purpose is being fulfilled. So Krishna consciousness, we must understand, there are many external aids that are very important, often essential, to help our consciousness to submit before God. But we must know for sure that this is our purpose. Religion today is most often so much superficial, social, prestigious, or even materialistic. And thus people have lost their faith in religion. Therefore, what Krishna is telling Arjuna is you have to be a man of real spiritual substance. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. In order to experience real happiness of spiritual life, we must understand that this material world is a place of suffering. And we must detach ourselves from the pleasures of this world. The source of all pain is attachment to trying to find happiness in this material world. We are liberated from all pain when we give up trying to be happy in this material world. However, you cannot give up trying to be happy in this material world unless you find a happiness that is superior. Real renunciation is to engage our mind, our words, our body, our very life in the service of the Supreme Lord. In the Vaishnava Sampradaya, when a person takes sannyas, he is given three dandas. Three large dandas, but then there's also another danda, a fourth. It is called three dandi. The three large dandas are representing that I am taking a vow that my body, my words, and my action and my thoughts will all be exclusively dedicated to the service of God. No longer for material enjoyment, either gross or subtle. And that fourth danda is the jiva, the soul. Which means, renunciation means surrendering one's body, mind, words, and soul to the service of Krishna. And here we find Srila Prabhupada is explaining that real renunciation doesn't mean the particular style of dress or hair. Real renunciation is this spirit of doing everything in a mood of service to Krishna. And to find happiness in that service. Srila Prabhupada so nicely explains that one obtains transcendental happiness by serving the Lord. That is the perfection of renunciation. And this is what Krishna is teaching us we should strive for as our perfection in life. This knowledge of what is real renunciation and why we should be renounced is essential for spiritual advancement. And this means for grihasthas, for ladies, for men, for everyone. You cannot make spiritual progress without detachment from material life. What is this body? This body is a machine that's just agitating us. And the soul's living in this crazy machine. This machine is seeing, and I want this, and hearing, I must taste this, I must touch this, I must see this, I must smell this, I must hear this, I must think of this. And then making all kinds of plans to fulfill the aims that the senses are demanding. And the soul is like that rider, the passenger on the chariot, and the wild horses and the mind are just taking everywhere. Dangerous situation, suffering condition. However, when by transcendental knowledge, as we obtain from Sri Bhagavad Gita, we learn to utilize the same mind and the same senses in Krishna's service, and simultaneously refrain from engaging in materialistic activities, then we can experience what is real happiness. When we water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When we please Krishna, then we are satisfied. Krishna is the root of everything and everyone. So this is renunciation, to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants you to live under a tree, and you are living in a palace, you should be willing to give up your palace to live under the tree. And if you are living under a tree and Krishna wants you to live in a palace, you should live in the palace. There are examples of this. There is a great devotee named Maharaj Priyavrat. He was son of Uttanapada. I'm sorry, he was the brother of Uttanapada, the son of Swayambhuvamanu. And he was the uncle of Dhruva Maharaj. So Priyavrat, he had no inclination at all for material life. He was actually the elder brother. And his father was the king of the entire planet Earth. And all he had to do to achieve the control and emperorship of the entire planet was just to sit on the throne and accept it. But he wanted nothing to do with it. Instead of living in the royal palace, on the royal throne, he went into the Himalayan mountains to perform tapasya. When he was just a small child, he was a young man. And there he took directions from Sri Narada Muni, his Guru Maharaj, and he was learning all about completely offering all one's human energies for the service of the Lord. He was satisfied. Meanwhile, his brother was king. And then so many dynasties of the kingdom were passed on within his family. But at a certain time, there was no qualified people to take the throne. So Swayambhuvamanu came to Priyavrat and said, we want you to be king. How many people are striving for such a position of wealth? When you're king, you could choose any queen. In fact, in those days, any amount of queens at your selection. Which man in this world would not be tempted to choose as his bride any of the most beautiful qualified women in the entire planet? Hare Krishna. Very difficult. Which man could give up billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of wealth just put right in your hand? And the whole world honoring you and worshiping you and glorifying you and doing whatever you say. For him, because he was finding inner happiness and peace in chanting the names of God and serving Krishna through devotional service, he didn't care anything for any of this. Another great king, Jamuna Acharya, he prayed that I was king and I had so many pleasures and so many enjoyments, but after tasting bhakti, love of God, when I think of even the most intimate pleasures of material life, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. That is the power of Krishna. So Priyavrata had no interest. However, Lord Brahma even came down to explain that you can better serve Krishna by being the king. You should not be attached to your so-called renunciation. You should be attached to pleasing Krishna. That is the ultimate perfection of renunciation. Your renunciation is to take off your tree bark and put on royal silken robes. To cut your matted hair and put on a crown. That is renunciation for you. For that is how you can best serve the Lord. So Priyavrata Maharaj accepted. And he was always protected by Krishna, ultimately. Similarly, here in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was very detached. Why should I fight? If we win, we become the controllers of the world. Let Duryodhana have the world. I will live a simple life. But when Krishna told Arjuna that you can better serve me by being a grihastha with a family, living in the palace and ruling the world, but not for your sense gratification, not for your glory, but for your service. One of the greatest of all dangers in this world is success, because it makes us proud and infatuated. And when we think we're the controller, then automatically we are in the position of the enjoyer. Even a sannyasi. As soon as a sannyasi thinks, I am controlling others, then he's becoming the enjoyer. Because this is one of the most profound, subtle types of enjoyment, is to control others. Now I am so detached and I am so spiritually advanced that anyone will do anything I say. I am celibate. I am eating 3 chickpeas per day. And I am only sleeping on the floor 2 hours a day. And my clothes have so many holes in them. See how great I am. And people, they will do whatever I say. Hare Krishna. The desire to be glorified, the desire to be obeyed, is enjoyment. It's material sense gratification. Maya comes in so many forms. But the spirit to serve, the spirit to make sacrifice for the welfare and benefit of others and for the pleasure of God, that is real renunciation. Priyavrata did not rule the kingdom as an egoistic monarch. He ruled the kingdom as a humble servant. Even for the least, most insignificant creature, he was willing to go to any lengths to help them on the path back home, back to Godhead, and to protect them in their lives. This is renunciation. There are extreme examples of this. Ranti Dev. He was also king of the world. But he fasted for 40 days, I believe. And he fasted with his whole family because they loved him so much, they wanted to help him and support him. He was fasting because whatever the king does, the whole kingdom gets the benefits. He was performing this tapasya to bring about the blessings of the Supreme Lord upon everyone. After this long fast, he and his family were on the verge of death. They brought a nice plate of Krishna's prasad. So Ranti Dev was about to divide it amongst his family members when a Brahmin came. This Brahmin said, "Oh King, I am very hungry. Please give me prasad." So Ranti Dev fed the Brahmin to his full satisfaction. Whatever was left, he divided it amongst his family members. And then a Shudra came and said, "Oh King, I am very hungry." So what did Ranti Dev do? He fed his family nicely, because they were also objects of his compassion. But he gave half of his portion to the Shudra. Then whatever little was left, he was about to eat it. Then by social classification, an untouchable person came and said, "Oh King, please give me food." So he gave the rest of his food. He was trembling on the verge of starvation. All he had left was a little water. He was about to save his life by drinking the water when a man came with dogs and said to Ranti Dev that these dogs are very thirsty. Can you give them water? Ranti Dev became filled with bliss. He considered, "What a precious opportunity God Krishna is giving me." He folded his palms with such a grateful heart and began to pray to Lord Krishna. He prayed that by your great causeless mercy, you are giving me the topmost benediction of sacrificing my life to serve others. This I consider my great, great fortune. Please, my Lord, in whatever birth I take, let me have the fortune of sacrificing my life to serve others for their welfare. And in doing so, let me remember you with pure devotion." With this prayer and a joyful heart, he gave that water, and with the water he gave his very life to feed dogs. At that time, the Brahmin, the Shudra, the Chandala, and the dogs, they all became demigods. And they celebrated the glory of Ranti Dev. That we perform this pastime of disguising ourselves in this way just to show the entire world for all time to come what is a devotee. What is real renunciation? He was not a sannyasi, he was a householder with wife and children. But what type of renunciation he had? What a spirit of service! It is described that after this, Ranti Dev continued ruling the world as king. Srimad Bhagavatam says, in the entire planet with pure devotees because of his example. He loved his citizens so much that they naturally loved him in return. He respected every living entity regardless of their position with such sincerity that naturally everyone respected him. And he was such a pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna, naturally everyone wanted to be like him. Everyone became a devotee of Krishna. The greatest preaching is the example of a sincere devotee. Sometimes people are very disturbed because they are not loved, they are not respected. They are not appreciated. However, there's a simple formula. If you respect others, people will respect you. If you appreciate others, people will appreciate you. If you show love to others, you will be amazed to see how many people love you. However, if you're not willing to make that sacrifice in a mood of service, Krishna will not allow you to understand these things. Anyone can criticize. Anyone can feel, why me? But a servant is not thinking, why me? A servant is thinking, what about him? What about her? They are Prabhu. Not only all Vaishnavas, but every living entity. A Krishna conscious person offers all respect even to an ant. How many of you have offered respects to an ant today? The reason we're not is because we're not seeing how part of Krishna is in the heart of that ant. Paramatma is in the heart of that ant. And the Jivatma, a Jivatma that's equal in quality to Indra and Brahma, is in the heart of that ant. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha krivasindubhyayavacha. We honor every living being as we're conscious of reality. And as we honor every living being, Krishna appreciates. And Krishna will express that appreciation in so many ways. However, we should not be attached to what we are getting in return. To the degree we are attached to what we are getting for ourselves, to that degree we will be frustrated, even if we're devotees. But to the degree we are really genuinely concerned with how we can help another, how I can make another feel nice by appreciating them, by encouraging them, by helping them, by enlightening them, by elevating them. To that degree, you're pleasing Krishna. And Krishna will give you bliss. But we don't want to keep the bliss. If we want to keep the bliss, then again, we want to be the enjoyer of the fruits of our spiritual activities. We want to give it to others. Krishna has given this bliss to me. I'm happy. What happened? All of a sudden I'm happy. Let me give this happiness to others. It is not mine. It is Krishna's. It is meant for service. Our intelligence, our physical abilities, our power to speak, even the happiness that we're experiencing is meant to be offered in the service of others. in the service of Krishna. And even our distress, Hare Krishna, that doesn't mean we try to share our distress by putting others in distress. That is not service. Service means I am in distress, so that distress makes me sympathize with people who are similarly in distress, so let me help them to get out of distress because I don't want them to be like me. That's service. Every situation, every condition of our mind should be used in the service of the Lord in a positive way. And by doing so, we are liberated. Liberated from all the actions and reactions of material karma. Because all karma is based on selfish endeavors. Selfless endeavors free you from karma. However, the impersonalist conception of selfless endeavors does not give the higher experience of divine consciousness. But to accept what is favorable for pleasing Krishna through devotional service and rejecting what is unfavorable, that is selflessness. Can you imagine what kind of world this would be if everyone was willing to give their very life to help others to become blissful in Krishna consciousness? Can you imagine what a family would be like? It is the spiritual world. And this is not something impossible to achieve. It is our very nature. It is natural. If we practice the principles that Bhagavad Gita is teaching us of renunciation, of accepting every situation of life as an opportunity for service, then we experience the unlimited ecstasy of spiritual life. And we simply want to channel that ecstasy as an offering to everyone. Everyone we come in contact with. This was Srila Prabhupada's consciousness. At every single moment, he was just trying to engage everyone in devotion to Krishna. Whether he was in a physically diseased condition, or whether he was healthy and strong, giving lectures, any situation, whether he was traveling, whether he was managing, whether he was meeting politicians or simple little children, his only meditation was to serve that person. And by pleasing Krishna and Guru through that service, by elevating them, by bringing them to the state of blissful life of Krishna consciousness, he wanted to give everyone ecstasy. Tonight we have a very special guest, Sri Haridas Prabhu, who was a very loving servant of Srila Prabhupada. Let us all welcome him by saying Hari Bol. Haridas Prabhu was, when Prabhupada was in Bombay and sometimes in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada showed very, very special affection for him. And for Haridas Prabhu and so many others, seeing how Prabhupada sacrificed so much to help to give that affection, to enlighten, is an experience that he can probably tell us about for millions and millions of years without in any way becoming tired. He is the object of the very intimate causeless mercy of a truly selfless, pure devotee of the Lord. And whatever may happen in our lives, no one can take that away from us. That is our treasure. He's a man who had opportunities to make big, big fortunes. But he was telling me some time back, now what is these big, big fortunes? What is big house and mansions and nice cars? I experience Prabhupada's mercy. That is the real treasure of life. That is real wealth. That is love. So that is the power of bhakti. So we must strive to achieve Krishna's mercy so that we can enliven others with Krishna's mercy. We have to somehow or other get out of the egoistic trend of trying to selfishly be the enjoyer in every field of our life. And try to serve. And the pains we have to suffer in serving are ecstasy. Thakur Bhakti Vinod prayed like this. My Lord Krishna, the inconveniences and sufferings that I undergo in serving you and your devotees is the greatest source of pleasure in my life. Are we striving for this? We should not think this is very elevated. Maybe when I'm old, or maybe in some future life I could think like this. But now, I am what I am and I have to enjoy. But the process of bhakti is the gradual purification. By regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord, by regularly hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, by associating with devotees of the Lord, by connecting our consciousness to the mercy of someone like Srila Prabhupada, who has so graciously created a whole movement to elevate our consciousness. By this type of association, pure life, and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. With the spirit of service, Krishna blesses us with a real spiritual state of consciousness. We should know that overcoming the mind, the senses, and the false ego is impossible. But if we simply have the right desire and the right association and accept the mercy of the Lord by chanting His holy name, Krishna can help us. Krishna can make all impossible things possible. There is a verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that for one who remembers with faith and devotion Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most impossible things are easily achieved. But for one who forgets the Lord, even the easiest things are impossible. So we should not be stuck up in this web of Maya's network of entanglements. Just be a servant of the servant. Try to purify your consciousness, fulfill the real aim of human life, and experience real renunciation. This one who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Is there any questions? Haridas Prabhu, would you like to please speak some words to enlighten all of us? Can you give him microphone, please?
कृपा सिंधु पतितनाम पावने भगव वैष्णव नमो नमः श्रील प्रभुपाद की श्रील राधानाथ स्वामी महाराज की When a malacha take the position of a speaker there will be lots of mistake so I don't know how Maharaj Radhanath Swami has thought of me to speak because the most fallen soul existing in this gathering and the whole universe. But however, Srila Prabhupada's the lost children has been able to get back to Prabhupada. It was mercy of Radhanath Swami last 2.5 years ever since I came in contact with Radhanath Swami. Once upon a time, due to circumstance, I didn't get to realize who the Radhanath Swami was. And though we are known each other almost 3 decades, but it is just very recent, 2.5 years before, I came in contact with Radhanath Swami in very person to person. And his love has melted my heart because my heart was for Prabhupada, but like a hard stone. And he broke them into the pieces and put their honey and melted like a, you know, dough. And now Maharaj can make any safe to serve Prabhupada, which is, you know, the Maharaj's creation. So I beg from all of you to just keep me and force me and slap on my head, spank on me to keep in Prabhupada's feet by serving his bona fide representatives, Radhanath Swami and many others. Recently, I just have to realize we are facing all over the world lots of chaos, but I realize personally, I sent a message to Maharaj that only solution is that to all of us if we become a first class Vaishnava. So I have a goal to make Juhu Center like a Chopari Center in terms of Vaishnava quality. For that, I came to beg a mercy from all of you to help us to fulfill my mission. That's all I can talk to you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Haridas Prabhu is going through the most extreme measures to encourage his fallen servant. Thank you. Is there any questions? Yes, Dwarkadish Prabhu.
You mentioned in the end of your lecture that one should not feel that this is impossible, in the sense that when we ourselves think of examples of great souls like pure devotees like Prahlad or Dhruva or Kunti Maharani, like that, and then when we rather ourselves or tell people that, Prahlad Maharaj faced many difficulties, so you should also gather courage and faith and face that. So generally the response, as you said, was that I am not Prahlad, I am not Dhruva, I am not Kunti Maharani. I mean, I am what I am and I like to be what I am. So that's not applicable to me at this stage. So how do we really fight out this sort of snare of Maya to withhold us from taking that leap of faith or having that strength and convictions in what we have been hearing through the examples of these great souls.
We should not try to be such a great soul. We should try to serve such great souls by following in their footsteps. And by that humble attempt to serve great souls, Krishna is pleased. There is a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna cleans the heart of those and gives the higher taste to experience the nectar of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord to those who sincerely try to serve great souls. So we should not be thinking, let me become Prahlad. We should be thinking, let me become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are serving Prahlad. And that consciousness will attract Krishna to give us the qualities of Prahlad. Does that answer your question? Who of us here cannot be the servant of the servant of the servant of a devotee? Who has no capacity to do that? And try earnestly and honestly to follow their instructions. By hearing the glories of the Lord and His devotees, you have to hear about something. You could watch television, you could go to the cinema, you could read so many novels and magazines and newspapers throughout the day. Or you could come and hear about Krishna. Hear what is the pure teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. What is the essence of life being presented in Srimad Bhagavatam? We have to speak something. We can chant the names of the Lord, speak the names of the Lord and the glories of the Lord. We have to associate with some people. We associate with devotees. Is this impossible? It's possible for everyone. It's just a matter of whether we make up our mind that this is what we want in life. Once you make up your mind, everything is possible. Once you decide to do something, Krishna removes all obstacles. Until you decide to do it, that indecisiveness makes it impossible to overcome any obstacle. That is a fact. In spiritual life, when one commits oneself through decision, through that commitment, Krishna, He may present so many obstacles, but through that commitment, Krishna will carry you across all difficulties. But as long as we are indecisive and uncommitted, impossible. Once you decide, everything becomes possible by the grace of Krishna. But what is the decision? Let me associate with His devotees. Let me hear His glories and learn the philosophy of life. Let me be a servant and live a pure life. Honestly, to my capacity, Krishna will help us. And most of all, let me accept Krishna's mercy in the most munificent form of His holy name by regularly chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is not impossible. If you try to be Kunti, Prahlad, or the gopis, you will die. But if you just earnestly and honestly decide I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant, then today the path of perfection will be open wide before you. Is there any other questions? Yes. Gopinath Prabhu. They will bring.
Maharaj, as you say in the lecture, if Krishna wants you to stay under the tree, then you should leave the palace. And if Krishna wants you to stay in a palace, you should leave the tree. But due to Maya, we always think that we are meant to live in a palace and we are comfortable in a palace. Mm-hmm. So we always think that we should live in a palace. So how do we know what is Krishna's will in our life?
Just chant Hare Krishna. You just go on chanting Hare Krishna in your palace and then you will